Hallelujah. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We're going to start reading here. Does anybody need a Bible? It looks like we're out of Bibles right now. Verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore or prostitute that sits upon many waters. Now, we don't have to go far to figure out what these many waters are. Go down to verse 15. And he said to me, The waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. Okay? So we know what the waters are already. We just need to figure out what the rest of it is. Why is this so important? Because this is an incredible part of the book of Revelation. You have to understand this to understand many parts of the book. Verse 2, this prostitute that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and there I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Everyone say, seven heads.
Seven heads.
And ten horns.
Ten horns.
And the woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet cloth, or scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So this is Mystery, mystical Babylon. And I saw the woman is drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those that bore testimony of Jesus, his martyrs. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, we're going to talk about this, but I need you to understand the symbolism, because we see these seven heads and ten horns multiple times in this book, and you have to know what it is for multiple reasons. You need to understand where the Antichrist comes from. Because if there's anything that the body of Christ is confused about and the whole entire world is confused about, it's where the Antichrist comes from. In fact, I could tell some of you 15 or 20 times where he's going to come from with Scripture, but you're so pre-programmed by the devil that he's going to come from somewhere else. The next time you pick up your Bible a month from now, you're still going to think he's coming from the United States. And that's a sad story. Because we should just accept God's word the first time we hear it for what it says. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm going to prove to you again where he comes from so there's no confusion. Now, going over to Daniel, we're going to start in chapter 7. There's no reason for confusion. Let's just accept God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're going to read through this chapter. Verse 2, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, all these beasts he's going to refer to are land animals that came out of the sea. Out of the sea. Land animals don't come out of the sea, do they? Now keep that in your mind, because we're going to see later, we're going to go to chapter 13, we're going to see a very similar thing take place. And the first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings, and I beheld, and the wings thereof were plucked and off of it, and it lifted up from the earth, and made to stand on its feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This first lion was the third world empire to persecute Israel, which is Babylon. The first one we know to be Egypt, right? God told Abraham that your seed's going to be persecuted by Egypt and mistreated for 450 years. So that was the first one. And then the next one to persecute was Syria. And then Babylon, which overtook Egypt and Syria by their power, which is Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. So this first one is like a lion. That's Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom or Babylon. And you can read about that in Isaiah 5, Ezekiel 17, and Habakkuk 1, verses 6 through 8. The second, he said, verse 5, "And behold, another beast, second, was like a bear, and it raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth, and in the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise and devour much flesh." Now, you know, there's multiple things going on here, but the bear symbolized the strength of the Persians compared to the Medes. It was a divided kingdom. We'll talk about that in just a little while here. And it's the same thought as a higher horn in the ram, as we see in chapter 8, verse 3. We're going to see this symbolism again. Similar symbolism represented Medo-Persia. And I want you to also notice that it said devour much flesh. This symbolized the conquest of Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt by the Medes and Persians. Very important to understand. Now, you can read about this in Isaiah 13, Jeremiah 51, 48 through 56. And, you know, it's fitting that it was a bear because of their cruelty, their thirst after blood. Medo-Persia was very powerful, like a bear, and their love of spoil. And another interesting fact, again, is that the largest species of bear comes out of Media in the world. Let's continue. "After this I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast also four heads." Four heads, you're going to have to remember this because we're going to talk about this empire again. "And dominion was given unto it." This represents the Grecian Empire that was ruled over by Alexander the Great. In 13 short years, he conquered most of the known world. He died at 33 years of age. Very fast moving. That's why you see here in the symbolism that it was like a leopard, moved very quickly, and also had four wings, which was more than the two wings, twice as many wings as Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Is that right? Now, so that again represents the Grecian Empire, which was the fifth world empire. We're going to come back to this, Grecian Empire. Now, let's continue. "After this, I saw in the night visions and beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had a great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Everyone say 10 horns.
10 horns.
This represents the old Roman Empire. And it was very powerful. He said it was an undescript beast. There's nothing like it because it was that powerful and that fast moving. And it overtook all the other kingdoms. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. It overtook all of them. It stomped them all under its feet. That was the Roman Empire that was in John's day, who wrote the book of Revelation. Okay? That's the Roman Empire. We're going to come back to that one also. But you need to notice that it had 10 horns. Now remember that the Grecian Empire looked like a leopard, right? Like a leopard. Remember that. And also want you to notice the 10 horns here. 10 horns. Verse 9, "I beheld till the thrones are cast down, and the ancients of the days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair and head were pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands, thousands ministering unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words, the horn spoke." The horn spoke. Now, go on back here. I skipped this. Let's read through it. Verse 8, "I considered the horns, and behold, the 10 horns, there came up among them another little horn, whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots." Three of the 10 horns were plucked up by the roots, by this little horn. "And beheld, In this horn were eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. Remember that, mouth speaking great things. This is none other than the Antichrist coming out of the ten kingdoms. We're going to see this symbolism in Revelation. Now again, in verse 11, he says, I beheld because the voice of the great, a voice of great words, which the horn spake, I beheld, even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. This is talking about the Antichrist. That's why I went back to verse 8 there, so you can understand and recognize that he's the little horn coming out of 10 other horns, which are 10 other kingdoms. Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. That's talking about the predicting the reign of the little horn. Continue on, verse 13. I saw in the night visions and beheld one like a son of man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now this is the, you know, we've seen a stone cut out of a mountain without hands in chapter 2. We didn't do that tonight. But this is talking again about Jesus' dominion, the thousand-year millennial reign, which is really an eternal reign. There's just a couple changes that take place at the end of it. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them, which stood by and asked the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of these things. These beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of a brass, which devoured in broken pieces and stamped the residue under his feet, and the ten horns that were in his head. Which head? That was that last kingdom there. The sixth kingdom. And of the others which came up and fell before him, three fell. Three fell to who? Well, the Antichrist. Which kingdom is this? This is the old Roman Empire, which ten kingdoms are going to arise out of in the last days. And out of those ten kingdoms, the Antichrist is going to rise up. And he's going to make three, he's going to subdue three of these kingdoms with the help of one, which is Syria itself. And then the other six are going to willingly submit their power over to him. Let's read this again, verse 20. And the ten horns which are in his head, and of the other which came up, and before three fell, even to that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horde made war against the saints and prevailed against them. Exact same thing he says in Revelation. So we know he's talking about the same things. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Exact same thing he describes in Revelation. So we know this is talking about the same thing. It could not get any more clearer. Verse 23, I mean, anybody could figure out that this symbolism is the same things he's using in Revelation. We know this to be true. So it means what it says. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it to pieces. That's talking about the Roman Empire. And the ten horns came out of this kingdom, the Roman Empire, are ten kings that shall arise, which is referring to the future tense of it, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. That's what I told you earlier. That's talking about the Antichrist. Subduing three of the ten horns with the help of another, and then the other six are going to willingly submit. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is talking about the Antichrist speaking against God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. That's talking about him setting up his beast worship and trampling over Jerusalem here and trying to kill everybody and getting, he sets himself up in the temple and changes the worship is what he's talking about here. Changing times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and a dividing of a time. That's the same thing he says in Revelation. That's again 3.5 years or 1260 days. That's how long the Antichrist reigns. Not the whole 7 years, but the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, which is the tribulation period. Verse 26, but judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end, unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given into the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's not just 1,000 years. And all dominion shall serve and obey him, Jesus. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, he says his stomach troubled him and his countenance changed, and he kept the matter in his heart. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let's see if we can start anywhere else. Let's just go through it. And in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So another vision. Now I want you to notice here, he started in chapter 2, he's seen this vision, it had 10 toes, but there was no little toe coming out of the 10 toes. Then he builds upon it, he described all those same kingdoms over there in chapter 2. Chapter 7, he gives you more detail. Instead of 10 toes, it's 10 horns. But now, he tells you something. We knew that the Antichrist from chapter 2 was going to come out of the 10 toes, but he didn't tell you where he's going to come from. He didn't tell you. But here in chapter 7, he told us that the Antichrist is going to come out of the old Roman Empire territory, which is the 10 horns. So he gives us more detail. But now in chapter 8, he's going to give us even more detail. And then by chapter 11, he's going to narrow it down and tell you exactly where the Antichrist is going to come out of. You need to see the progression from chapter 2 to chapter 7 to chapter 8 to chapter 11. He's funneling it down and pointing like a pinpoint, like a laser, down on the Antichrist, exactly where he's going to come out of. If you can understand how a chapter can build upon chapter, he's telling you exactly where the Antichrist comes out of. There's no question, no wonder. If you can read the Bible and believe that God means what he says, you can understand where the Antichrist comes from by the time we go through these chapters. Okay? Let's continue on. Now, in my vision, I saw in my vision, verse 2, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns. Everyone say 2 horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now this ram represents Media Persia, which is one of the kingdoms we mentioned in chapter 7, isn't it? Media Persia. Now he has 2 horns, which I told you represent the 2 divisions, in particular, the kings of Media and Persia, Darius and Cyrus. Darius and Cyrus, referring to Cyrus the Persian, who is king of the Medes, and Persians after Darius the Mede, under him and his successors, Persia attained to a greater power than ever under the Medes. Okay, so that's why we see one's higher than the other. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, and he did according to his will, became great. Media Persia kingdom was very powerful. That's the one that was represented by the bear. And as I was considering, behold, and a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, which meant he moved very fast. This he-goat represents none other than Alexander the Great's kingdom, which was represented by a leopard that had 4 wings. Now it's represented by, it's symbolized by a he-goat, which moves so quickly that it didn't even touch the ground. It was just flying. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. That's not the Antichrist, but that is Alexander the Great, who was the king over the Grecian Empire in that day. And we're going to see that as we go on. And it came to the ram, which had two horns. Who came to the ram? Well, the he-goat did, which had the two horns, which represented, again, the kings of Media and Persia, Darius and Cyrus, which I had seen before the river, and ran into him with fury and power. So this he-goat runs into the ram. In other words, the Grecian Empire runs into the Media-Persian Empire. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. So Media-Persia couldn't stand up against the next empire, which is the Grecian Empire. It followed the Media-Persian Empire. We know it was Babylon. Media Persia was next, and then it was Greece, and then later came Rome. So we're in talking about the Grecian Empire overtaking the Medes, the Media Persian Empire. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, and he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So we see that Alexander the Great took over that territory. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very strong, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. So when the Grecian Empire came very strong, this is when Alexander the Great was taken out of the way, or he passed away at 33 years old. For it came up after that, after he was broken off, four notable horns, which represents the four divisions that happened after Alexander the Great, the four divisions of the old Grecian Empire. This is very, very significant to understand where the Antichrist comes from. Four divisions of the old Grecian Empire. Now listen. Now, it came up four notable ones towards the winds of the heaven. They rose out of him. And out of one of them, out of one of who? Out of one of the four divisions of which empire? The Grecian Empire. Right? It's the Grecian Empire. Out of one of them. Everyone say, out of one of them. Say it again. Say it again. Out of one of them, out of these four horns that came out of Alexander's empire, which is a Grecian empire, which is divided in four parts, which is Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece now. Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece it was divided into. Out of one of them, out of what? Out of Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. Out of one of them, he says, came a little horn. There we see a little horn again. Which waxed exceedingly great. So he's telling you the Antichrist is going to come out of one of them. He's going to come out of Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, or Greece. Out of one of them. Out of one of them. Not out of the United States, but out of this old Grecian Empire, which is divided into four parts, which again, I'm going to say it again. Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, or Greece. The Antichrist comes out of one of them, and he's going to go even further in chapter 11. He's going to divide it down to two, and then down to, he's going to pinpoint and tell you exactly where he's going to come from. Does it say he comes out of the United States, or does he come out of the old Grecian Empire? It says he comes out of the old Grecian Empire. Okay? Now, this little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land, which is Palestine, and it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and cast some down of the hosts and the stars of the ground and stamped upon them. That's talking about God's people now. Yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts, God himself, that's the Antichrist. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. I tell you, he's going to change it to beast worship. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host is given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of sin, transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So the Antichrist kingdom was very powerful, and it was prospering. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said, unto that certain saint which spoke, how shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desecration to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under hoof? So when is this going to take place? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay? Let's continue on. And it came to pass, when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought the meaning and beheld, and there stood before me appearance as of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called, and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Now, we know Gabriel's one of the chief angels. Michael's an archangel, but Gabriel's not mentioned as an archangel. He's mentioned as a chief angel. He's one of the chief angels of God. So he came near where I stood, and when I came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. And he said to me, understand, O son, for the time of the end shall be the vision. So again, this is pointing. This is the Antichrist, the time of the end of the dispensation of grace that happens right before which kingdom? Well, Christ's kingdom. He's mentioned that multiple times. And now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face toward the ground. He touched me and set me upright. And behold, I said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time of the end shall be. It's at the end days. Now he tells you right here what I've already been telling you to make it very clear that I'm telling you the truth. Verse 20, the ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Isn't that what I told you? So I'm telling you the truth, right? So you don't have to question what I'm telling you. The Bible tells you that the ram represented Media and Persia just like I already told you. And the rough goat or the he-goat is Grecia. Just that I told you earlier. And the great horn which is between his eyes is the first king. Well, that's Alexander the Great. Now, that being broken off, or when that horn is broken off, four stood up, four kingdoms shall arise out of the nation. Of what? Well, the Grecian nation. But not in his power. Not in his power. Which represents Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt again. And in the latter time, their kingdom, in the latter time. Now, in the latter time, their kingdom, this Grecian kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up out of this Grecian empire. So he says in the last time, something's going to happen with this Grecian empire, and out of, we know that he's going to come out of one of these four horns, a little horn came up, and out of one of them, the Antichrist is going to rise up out of this Grecian empire now. Now, he says here in verse 24, but his power shall be mighty, but not in his own power. And we'll talk about that later. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. Now, we know that's the Antichrist. He's going to kill God's people. He said that over there in chapter 7. He's just saying it again. He's just giving you more details now. Verse 25, so we know, does it not say he's going to come out of Grecia? Isn't that what it said right here? Do you see it? Circle that in your Bible or highlight it on your phone. It says he's going to come out of there. I hope you're taking notes. God's trying to get this over to you. He won't let me off until you got it. Why? Because there's too many deceived people out there that you need to tell the truth. Verse 25, and though his policy, through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Well, he makes a peace agreement with Israel right at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, and he breaks it in the middle, and then he destroys many by breaking that peace agreement and setting up beast worship and forcing everyone to worship him. So he breaks, by peace shall he destroy many, because he comes as a man of peace to Israel only and deceives them. Continue on, he shall stand up against the prince of princes, that's Jesus, that's at Armageddon, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which told is true, wherefore shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Now, let's go on over to chapter 11. Let's see him break this down and point exactly where he's going to come out of. So we know now we know that he's going to come out of 10 kingdoms. We know he's going to come out of the old Roman Empire territory. Then he narrowed it down. He talks about this Grecian Empire being raised up inside of that old Roman Empire territory. This Grecian Empire is going to rise up. And it had four divisions, which are Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. And the Antichrist is going to come out of one of those four. And those four are all four of those are of the 10 kingdoms. They're of those 10 horns. Those four are, they are actually four of the 10 horns also. Okay, now, he's going to tell us which of these four He's going to narrow it down to two of the four that I mentioned in chapter 11. And then they're going to be fighting against each other. And then he's going to narrow it down to one. And that's where the Antichrist comes from. Now I want you to know before we get into this, the king of the north represents Assyria. Assyria. And the king of the south represents Egypt. Okay, so let's read through this in chapter 11, verse 40. You can read the whole chapter. It gives you a whole lot of detail about this wars and so on and so forth. But it's a very, very long chapter. There's no way we'd be able to do all this in one service. Verse 40, and at the time of the end, everyone say time of the end. So we know this is talking about the same thing he's been talking about in all the other visions, the time of the end. Shall the king of the south push at him, push at who? The Antichrist. And the king of the north shall come up against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships and shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter into the glorious land, Palestine, and many countries. He says many, not all. Many countries shall be overthrown, but not all like some people say the Antichrist is going to take over the whole world. He doesn't say he's going to take over the whole world. He says many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape. So if some shall escape, obviously doesn't take over the whole world. Many shall be overthrown, not all, many, but these shall escape out of his hand, the Antichrist's hand. Even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now we know that this is where Israel's going to flee to in the desert, a place prepared for time and half time out of the serpent's reach. This is representing the place where Israel's going to flee to. And he shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So now, if we know that these other ones escape, but there's only two left, the king of the north, the king of the south, and Egypt shall not escape, then where does the Antichrist come from? There's only one left. It's Assyria. If the king of the north is Assyria and Egypt is the king of the south and Egypt does not escape, there's only one left. Again, that's the Antichrist kingdom, which is Assyria. He comes from Assyria. He tells you right here where he comes from. But he shall have power over the treasuries of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth a great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. So now this is talking about in the latter times and during the Antichrist reign, God is going to send the kings of the north and the kings of the east to give him a hard time. Why? Because he's trying to protect Israel. Now go back to chapter 13 in Revelation. Chapter 13 in Revelation. You've got to move very quickly to cover all this ground. Verse 1, and I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Isn't that what he saw earlier? A beast out of the sea. Now, this sea represents people, is what it represents. People. A beast out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Isn't that the same symbolism? So we know that this is just expounding upon what Daniel already saw thousands of years earlier. Seven heads and ten horns, and ten crowns on his horns. He had ten crowns on his horns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. That's the Grecian Empire. Now, that's his body was a leopard now. The leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, so he had the power of the Media-Persian Empire. Leopard means he's very fast moving. Also, it represents the Grecian Empire. And out of his mouth, he had a mouth like a lion. Well, that's the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar's Empire. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we see he's carrying this particular beast is going to have all the attributes of these kingdoms that were mentioned in the book of Daniel. He's going to carry them. Okay? Now, and it says this, again, the dragon gave him, the Antichrist, because this represents the Antichrist now, his power and seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads which were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, I want you to understand some things here. And then he goes on to detail here about the Antichrist's reign and his false prophet, which exercises all the authority on the beast of on his behalf. Okay? But to give you more detail about this, jump on over to chapter 17, because he tells us all about it. And it explains itself. Verse 1, and let's start at verse 7. And the angel said unto me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast which carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. So these beasts are, obviously they're connected because they both have seven heads and ten horns. They're connected somehow, right? Verse 8, the beast which you saw was and now is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast which was and is not and yet is. Now you're thinking that's the Antichrist. Well, he's actually talking about the spiritual force behind the Antichrist here, which is that Grecian Empire. Now we know from chapter 8 that he said in the last days the Grecian Empire was going to rise up again, didn't he? Chapter 7, he said the old Roman Empire is going to rise up and ten horns are going to come out of that kingdom, right? Okay, stay with me. So we know that first, the Roman Empire territory is going to be taken over by 10 kings. That's what's going to happen first. And out of this territory, later on in chapter 8, he said the Grecian Empire was going to rise out of that territory. Out of four, there's going to be four divisions of this Grecian Empire, which are Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. And the Antichrist is going to come out of that, which means the Antichrist is going to come out of, he narrowed it down for you, he's not only going to come out of the old Roman Empire territory, but he's also going to come out of another part of it, which is the Grecian Empire, which is going to be revived in the last days. That's why he says, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come and will go to perdition. What he's saying is this old Grecian empire that the Antichrist comes out, this old Grecian prince, which you can read about in Daniel chapter 10, which is a satanic prince. A satanic prince, after Alexander's kingdom fell, which was empowered by this Grecian prince, he was confined to an abyss. To an abyss. And what's going to happen is after these 10 kingdoms arise in the old Roman Empire territory, that Grecian prince is going to get let loose out of his abyss, and then he's going to revive the old Grecian Empire, which the Antichrist is going to come out of and be empowered by this satanic prince, which is the Grecian prince. Well, how do you know that? All you got to do is go back to Daniel chapter 8. He told you that this Grecian Empire is going to rise again. Well, the Grecian Empire can't rise again unless the satanic force that was behind it rises again, can it? Because we know that every kingdom, whether good or bad, it's either ruled by God or it's ruled by the devil and one of his principalities. Well, this Grecian prince is going to get loose out of his abyss, and this Grecian empire is going to rise again, and the Antichrist, we now know, comes out of Syria, which is part of this Grecian empire in the last days. And that Grecian prince is going to rule and empower the Antichrist for the last 3.5 years. But not only the Grecian prince, the devil himself is going to empower the Antichrist. So now we got two satanic forces empowering him. Now, let's go through this here. So again, I'm going to read this. The beast which you saw was and now is not. In John's day, the Grecian prince was not. He was before John's day. He now is not. Why? Because he's confined to the abyss. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. They're going to be amazed that this Grecian empire actually came back to power. How did that happen? Well, the devil empowered it to happen. And here is a mind which has wisdom. Now he tells you the seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. Now we know that he's going to tell us all this symbolism. Let's just continue. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. So the seven The seven heads are all, seven, it's an area of the world. He's telling you it's seven hills, which is an area, geography, but it also represents seven kings. Five have fallen. Well, we already seen which one's fallen in the book of Daniel. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece fell. In what day did they fall? Before John's day again. Before John's day, those five had fallen. And then he says, one is, well, which one is in John's day? Rome. The old Roman Empire was going on in John's day. He said, five have fallen, one is. He said, the other is yet to come. That's the seventh head. Well, the seventh head is also the Roman Empire, but it's a revised Roman Empire because it's not ruled over by one anymore. It's ruled over by ten, which operate individually, independent of each other in this Roman Empire territory. Five have fallen. One is in John's day, which is a Roman Empire. He says the other is yet to come. He's telling you in the future, there's another that's yet to come. Well, that's the one we see. It had a fatal wound. We're going to talk about the fatal wound in a moment. But the other is yet to come, which is the revised Roman Empire. That's the seventh. So the sixth and the seventh are of the same. They're both the Roman Empire. But there's a difference between the two. The sixth one was the empire that was in John's day, which was ruled over by one. And the seventh, which is the revised Roman Empire, is going to be ruled over by ten kings. That's the difference. Now, let's continue on. He says this, and the ten horns that you saw are ten kings which have not yet received a kingdom. Let's go back here. Verse 9, here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. One is the old Roman Empire. The other is not yet come, the revised Roman Empire. And when he comes, he must continue for a short place. That's 3.5 years before the Antichrist takes over, really, in the last days. Verse 11, and the beast which was and now is not, even he is the eighth. So he's not any of the seven. He's a different one. Why? Because he's the Grecian Empire. Not only is it the Grecian Empire, the old Grecian Empire, which is revived, but he's also that satanic prince, and he also represents the kingdom of the Antichrist, which is totally separate from the seven. Okay? He's one of the seven. He's connected to him, but he's not the seven. He's none of the seven. And he goes to perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings. We already knew about that from Daniel, right? We already knew about that from chapter 13, right? The ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have not yet received a kingdom. Not yet received a kingdom when? In John's day. They had not yet received a kingdom. But received power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. So for a short time, they're going to come out of this old Roman Empire territory. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and at the end of the tribulation, or end of the 3.5 years or the middle of Daniel's 70th week, this is when the Antichrist, we saw that he subdued three. Didn't we see that in the book of Daniel? He subdued three. He says that a few times. So in the middle, what's going to happen is the Antichrist, his capital is going to be literal Babylon, not mystical Babylon that we're talking about now. His capital is going to be literal Babylon, and for the first 3.5 years, it's going to take him 3.5 years to subdue all 10 of these horns, or these 10 kingdoms. So he subdues three of them with the help of Syria. That's four, right? And then the other six are going to just give their power over to him. And then, after that, then he sets up his kingdom. He enters into the pleasant land, which is Palestine. And that's when he's going to start destroying all God's people. Or trying to, anyways. Right? Now, verse 13, these ten hordes have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. Now, we know he subdues three of them, but the rest of them give their power over him willingly. He didn't have to subdue them. They just did it. Why? Because he's so powerful. He's so powerful. They're watching this happen. They say, well, forget it. If he overtook these other ones, we have no chance. So they just give up and give it over to him. These What? The ten kings and the 11th, which is the Antichrist, shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and them that are with him is called, chosen, and faithful. Say, that's me. That's you. If you keep living for the Lord, and I believe you will. Now, verse 15, he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the horse sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now, I want you to see something here. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5, it says, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. This is not literal Babylon. This is Mystery Babylon. He made mention, if you go back to chapter, the last vial that was let loose, let's read through the last vial, verse 17 of chapter 16. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice from the temple of heaven with the throne, which said, it is done. And there's voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake. We're in chapter 16 at the end here, verse 18. Such as was not since men were on the earth so mighty was the quake. Now we know, here he says in verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon, that's not mystery Babylon, great Babylon, that's the literal city of Babylon. Well, where is it? Well, it's going to be in that area of the world. They're going to be another city. They're going to call it literal Babylon. Literal, it's going to be Babylon, so it's going to be called. Came in remembrance before God, Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone that weighs 114 pounds or one talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. The plague was so exceedingly great. That's talking about at Armageddon. That's when literal Babylon gets destroyed here, around right at the end of the tribulation period. And then what happens is he takes a break, and chapter 17 is a parenthetical chapter. You know what parentheses are. He tells you other events that are taking place here. And he tells you all about this religious system that I've been trying to describe to you, this religious system which is mystical Babylon in chapter 17. It's not literal Babylon, which is destroyed in chapter 18 by God. Mystical Babylon is destroyed by man in chapter 17. In particular, it's destroyed by these ten kings and the Antichrist working together as one. Mystical Babylon is a religious force that's going to dominate over the ten kings for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's a religious system, a religious force. It's not a political power. It's a religious system that dominates over the ten kings for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Then, when the Antichrist subdues he's not revealed as the Antichrist yet, but that's who he is. When he subdues three of those ten kings with the help of another, which is Syria, the other six are going to willingly submit their power over to him. And the first thing he's going to do is they're going to work together to shut down this religious system because they've had enough of it. It's been dominating over the ten kings for 3.5 years. They're done with this religious system. Let's have a new system now. They enter into Palestine, the glorious land. The Antichrist steps into the temple, the Jewish temple, and says, I'm God, this is your religious system. And he forces everyone in the old Roman Empire territory, which is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and the revised Roman Empire, he forces everyone in that area of the world to worship him. Not the whole world. Daniel didn't say he had a whole world. He didn't say anything about the whole world. He even said that Edom, Moab, and Ammon, which are old Jordan right there, they escaped out of his hand. And then he also said the king of the north and the king of the east trouble him. So if the king of the north and the king of the east are troubling him towards the end of the tribulation period, how could he take over the whole world when he hasn't even subdued that area of the world? Explain that to me. Those that believe that the Antichrist takes over the whole world. Forget about it. That would be meaning that the Antichrist, one man, by himself, was able to accomplish more than the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, God the Father, all the angels, the whole church was able to accomplish in 2,000 years. You trying to tell me one man's going to be able to do that? I mean, there's people in the world today that still were trying to get the gospel out to them. After all that time, you're trying to tell me the Antichrist in 3.5 years is going to take over billions of people by himself? That's not biblical. That's not what the Bible says. He's going to take over the old Roman Empire territory. He's going to revive this Grecian prince is going to get let loose according to Revelation chapter 17, which is a satanic prince. He's going to get let loose, and this Grecian prince is going to go forward in these 10 kingdoms and gather together 4 of these 10 kings, which are Egypt, Assyria, Greece, and Turkey. He's going to get them, gather them together, and he's going to revive this old Grecian empire. He's going to revive the old Grecian empire. The Antichrist is going to be empowered by that satanic prince, the devil himself. The devil himself is going to give him all his power, his throne, and great authority. The 10 kings are going to give the Antichrist all of his authority. So he's got everything in that area of the world. It's all in his hands. He's empowered by the Grecian prince, according to Daniel chapter 8. If you have any questions about him being empowered by the Grecian prince, we know that if that Grecian empire is revived in the last days, we know there's a satanic force behind it. If you don't believe that, all you got to do is read Daniel chapter 10 and study the rest of your Bible, because you will notice that there's many times that different areas of the world that came to power, every single time they were empowered by a satanic force if they were not a power of God. It's either powered by God or it's powered by the devil. Every kingdom that's ever risen or fall, there was a war first in the heavenlies. You know, they say this is it's a spiritual war. It's a holy war. That's right. There's a satanic force and God is fighting against it. And what Satan is always trying to do is he's trying to stop the prophetic word from coming to pass. That's always been his goal. He knows what God has said and he hears what God has said and he always goes forth to try to stop it from happening and it never happens. That's why you always see all these kings, they'd always kill. They'd always they get paranoid and think someone's going to take over my kingdom. And then you'd seen, Herod the Great, not King Herod in Jesus' day, but Herod the Great, before Jesus' day, when Jesus was born, he went forth and he wanted to kill all the children. Why? Because Satan was working through that man trying to stop the prophetic word from coming to pass. So every kingdom, again, you need to understand, if it's not God's kingdom and he's not behind the kingdom, then it's empowered by a satanic force. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground here. There's no kingdom in the earth that's not empowered by one or the other. Would you agree with me? We can understand that. So we know if that Grecian empire is revived in the last days, then it's empowered by a satanic force. Well, he tells you right here that the beast that was, that's a Grecian prince, and now is not, even he is the eighth, and he's one of the 7 and goes of perdition. But you need to understand, you might want to write this in chapter 17, that the beast represents 3 things. The Grecian Empire, the old Grecian Empire, which is revived. It also represents that Grecian prince, which is empowering it. And it also represents the Antichrist, which the Grecian prince is trying to operate through. So it represents 3 things. If you got a Bible, I would write that in there. It's going to help you have great understanding. And you can mark in there Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. It'll help you to understand this. So again, this beast here represents the Grecian Empire, the old Grecian Empire, which had 4 divisions, which are Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. It also represents the Grecian prince, which is led out of the abyss. The Antichrist, a man doesn't come out of an abyss. Think about that. It's a satanic force that comes out of an abyss. The Antichrist comes out of the sea. He's a man. He said he was given a heart like a man. He's like a man, he's described in Daniel. He's a man. But this Grecian prince, he's going to empower him. So again, I got ahead of myself here, but the beasts in chapter 17, not chapter 13. The beast in chapter 13 represents the Antichrist, which had a body of a leopard. And the leopard represented the Grecian Empire. And if the body is a leopard, that means that the Antichrist kingdom is mainly Grecian in attribute. So again, the beast in chapter 17 represents the old Grecian Empire, which is revived in the last days. It also represents the Antichrist kingdom, and it also represents the Grecian prince, all of them working together as one. That's what it represents. According to Daniel's own, according to God's own word over here in chapter 7 and chapter 8, if you read it, if your mind wants to play tricks on you, just go back there and you'll see that's what you have to take the scriptures as our authority. Don't take what I'm telling you. Just go right back there to the Bible. I'm not telling you anything. All I'm doing is pointing out facts that are right there in your Bible. That's my job. I'm not to tell you my opinion about the word. I'm going to be held accountable. I'm not going to tell you no lies. Forget about it. These other guys that don't esteem God's word high enough, they don't have enough respect for God's word. I mean, they're lunatic as far as I'm concerned. They're crazy. They're insane. There's something wrong with they're possessed by the devil. Who in the world would want to be judged by God? Forget about it. I'm going to be judged according to the good things I've done, just like you are. Why? Because we're going to obey God. Amen. We're going to stick to the Word of God. Not opinions, but the Word of God. Now, he tells us that the waters represent, which are people. Verse 16, and the 10 horns that you saw upon the beast, they shall hate the whore. They shall hate the whore. Now, to further proof that this mystical Babylon, this whore, is a religious system that empowers these 10 kings. They hate it, just like I told you earlier. It is not literal Babylon, though. Well, how do you know that? Because these same kings grieve and mourn and wail when literal Babylon's destroyed. But it says here that they hate her. But they're crying about it in chapter 18. That's because it's not the same thing. Mystical Babylon is a religious system that rules over the 10 kingdoms for the first 3.5 years of the Antichrist, but gets destroyed by the Antichrist and these 10 kings by mid-tribulation. Literal Babylon is a political power. So again, the 10 kings which you saw upon the beast shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now it's saying that, it says right here that the 10 horns did that, didn't it? But in chapter 18, it says that God destroys literal Babylon. So there's, again, you can differentiate, there's a difference between the two. God destroys literal Babylon, man destroys mystical Babylon, which again is a religious system, a religious power. It says, they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The anointing's changing, we have to go quickly here. For God has put it in their hearts, the 10 kings, to fulfill His will, and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast, that's all 10 of them, until God's words shall be fulfilled. The woman which thou saw is the great city. Now don't get confused, it's a spiritual force which reigns over the kings of the earth. There's no city, no literal city that rules over the kings of the earth, but there is a spiritual force in the last days that is going to affect the whole earth to some degree.